Yeah, thank God for the blood, amen. Yeah. Thank God for just another day to be alive. Open your Bible, John chapter 9. That's where we're going to start at this today, completing our study, continuing rather, our study of the book of John. And John chapter 9, if you're visiting with us, not a member of the Church of Christ, you're an honored guest of the audience. And we are thankful to have you with us. Amen. We believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died. And that blood purchased his church, his bride, his wife. And that blood will wash away your sins. If you obey him, you should do that before it's eternally too late. Amen. Life is short. Amen. And it's a lot of holes in the church today. I hope everybody ain't out there waving palms. It's Palm Sunday in Catholic Church. That was a time when Jesus came into Jerusalem. They laid palms before him, but there's no such thing as Palm Sunday in the Bible. No such thing as Easter. That'll be next week. I'll give you that 2-minute Easter sermon. Like I do your 2-minute sermon on Christmas, I'll give you that one. And then I'll give you a 2-minute Mother's Day, and that's for the CMEs. Christmas, the CME Christians. Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. It's the only time they go to church somewhere. So misleading. Just like Ash and Lent and all that, you can't eat catfish. I just don't know why anybody would buy into that when God said everything he made was good for man. It seems like the Bible has no relevance in today's society as it pertains to what we must do. But for us in the churches of Christ, it has relevance, doesn't it, you all? Amen. John chapter 9, blind from his birth. This is going to be John 8 was a tough text. John 8, chapter 8 was tough. And John 9 is going to be just as good. All of the book of John is a great study. Amen. And the Bible says here now, as Jesus passed by,
he saw a man which was blind from his birth.
Which was blind from his birth. That's my title right there, blind from his birth. My first point is that Jesus is passing by this man, and he's going to change his life.
Yes, he is.
And I would just say to you this morning that you're in this audience, and when one preaches the word of God, Jesus is passing by through your ears. And so listen carefully for the message he has. You take the man out of the message and listen to the message from Jesus. Because he has a message for this blind man that's going to change this man's life. And in this blind man's case, even though we didn't know what was going on in his life, we know from the text that his life changed. And I don't know what's going on in your life and why you chose to come to a church building this morning. But I know God can make a difference in the life of a man. So I don't know if you came for a life-changing experience, but for me, 33 years ago, 34 going on now, March 31st, my life changed. Because I heard the message from Jesus. So this man was blind from what? His birth. And I want to parallel that this morning to physical blindness to spiritual blindness. So in a sense, people are blind from their birth. Physical blindness means when you can't see physical things. Spiritual blindness is when you can't see spiritual things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verses number 3. The Bible said, if our gospel be hid,
it is hid to them that are lost.
In whom the God of this world have blinded the minds. Is that what it said? Blinded the minds of them, what? Which believe not. Lest the light of the gospel should shine unto them. So I'm emphasizing this morning, blinded minds. From birth. Blinded minds from birth. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? The reason we don't baptize babies Because babies' minds are not developed to the point that they can understand spiritual things. The Bible says, let him that know it to do good, do it not. He that know it to do good and do it not to him or her, that's when it's a sin. So no baby can hear the gospel. No baby can believe the gospel. No baby can repent of his or her sins. No baby can confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's why we don't baptize babies. If you put water on a baby, you just wet him up. That's all you did. You didn't save him. He didn't need to be saved. He was safe. The person who needs to be saved is the man or woman who's old enough to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. So, however, there are grown folk who are still spiritually blind in their minds. Amen. They can hear, they can understand, but they're blind to the truth. They make a choice not to obey the truth. They're spiritually blind to the facts of the spiritual guidance that come from the Bible, and they're going to do what they want to do because they are blind, and they've been blind since they were born. Blind from birth, 80 years old, still ain't been baptized for the remission of their sins. Still don't commune every Sunday. Still don't follow the scriptural terms of the scripture. That's a blind old man or woman. What are you saying, brother? Been blind since the beginning because they never learned from the baby to obey God. When you're old enough to know our children, we ought to be teaching them and training them up as a child to obey the word of God. Amen. So they have sight and they are not spiritually blinded to the truth. When a person comes of age, and we're going to more of that coming in this text, it comes a point when they come of age. You are of age, you are accountable to God. But there is a thing called spiritual blindness, and I'm going to say to this, even in the church, some of us are spiritually blind to the importance of faithfulness. Amen. Yeah, church, in the church, blind on the pew. Notice this in verse 2. His disciples,
asked
the guys that were following him, asked Jesus a question.
Master.
They said, Master.
Who did sin?
They see the man in the scene. Notice that. What they see? A man that's blind and they see sin. So they say, who sinned?
This man.
Was it the man?
Or his parents that he was born blind?
Was it mom and daddy? Who caused this man to be blind? Was it him? Now notice, if he were blind from birth, they said, who caused this man to be blind? How could he did it? When he was a baby. They said he was blind from birth. So how can it be this man's fault? And notice this. Who did it? His parents or why was he born blind? Why was this man born blind? And my point is that the disciples saw the man and the problem. Jesus saw the man who needed to be fixed. And in our lives, we ought to see, when we see people, we don't see just sin. We see the people who need help. Y'all hear about last night here in Houston how the two drunk drivers back-to-back killed folk? I don't know how many of y'all heard about that. One drunk driver was driving so fast that he split the car. When he hit it, the car split in half. Do you know that's a major impact? And then the man jumped out of the car. The drunk driver killed the person in the other car. The drunk driver jumps out of his car, gets on his cell phone, and then run away. How is it that the wicked get away, we say? He don't get away with nothing. He got to live with the consequences, and he got to face God. But what was his problem? Was he any different from us? No, the problem this man had is called sin. The problem we have is called sin. So Jesus, as he did with the adulterous woman, he looked at a man who was blind, but he didn't look at it as a problem related to sin. Because Jesus answered and said, Neither hath this man sinned. Neither, it wasn't his man.
Nor his parents.
It wasn't his parents.
But that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
God going to use this man to make known to these people the power of God through him. We don't know what God is using us for. I tell people all the time how when I teach them, I say, and it may be a child that I teach, and their parents and them don't know the truth. God may be using you to save your mama, your daddy, and your sisters and brothers. Amen. We don't know what God's plan is for us in life, but once we're obedient to him, God can use us. Now, if this man don't obey what Jesus is doing, he can't carry out the works of God. Now, notice this. The Bible does not get Ezekiel chapter 18. Just so you know, the Bible does not teach that deformities are related to a sin. It's like people who call themselves homosexuals. It could be a situation that there are some deformities in their mind. But it ain't related to sin. Homosexuality is the sin. And then there are choices we make. It's not sin related at all. It's a choice. We choose to live the life we want to live. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 19.
Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father?
Yeah, why isn't it that the son or whatever the father get in trouble, the son gonna get it?
When the son hath done that which is lawful and right,
yeah,
and hath kept my statutes,
uh-huh,
and hath done them, he surely shall live.
Yeah. Verse 20.
The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Now which soul gonna die? The one that sinneth. Notice here, the son.
The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son.
Whose fault is it? Can I blame my daddy?
Nope.
No, I can't blame my daddy. Who I've got to blame? I got to blame who? Myself. Notice what he said. The righteousness
of the righteous shall be upon him.
Upon him.
And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him.
But if the wicked will turn from all his sins
that he has committed and keep all statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die.
Now, that's it. Mama, daddy, sister, brother, grandma, grandpa, or your pastor, it will not be on the day of judgment beside you to defend your case. So many people I know today will not obey the truth. And they say, well, if it was good enough for mama, it's good enough for me. But you know what? That won't work on the day of judgment. It won't work on the day of judgment. You're going to have to do it for you. And if I get Mark 7 and verse 7, the Bible said there are some people who will follow traditions and they will never obey the truth. They will reject the word of God and follow mom and daddy's traditional belief. If I'd have stayed a Baptist, that's exactly what I did would have been, because it ain't in here. And I know that's not good English, but when you're from Southeast Texas, that's good enough for us. I want y'all to listen to Jesus in Mark 7 and verse 7. He said, how be it
in vain they
notice
do
he
worship
said,
me.
He said, these folk will worship me in vain.
Teaching for doctrines.
It won't be no benefit to them on the day of judgment. Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men.
For laying aside the commandments of God. You hold the tradition of men.
I could have laid that aside and never been a member of the Church of Christ. And stayed a member of the Baptist Church, and it ain't nowhere in that book. But that's what my mama was and my daddy. You can lay aside the commandment of God and hold to a tradition. Then let me warn the Church of Christ folk. Some of you are traditionals. You in it because mama was a member of the church. And you come out of routine and habit. It's a habit. And if you don't get your Sunday morning worship on and your communion that morning, you feel funny. Because you caught up in tradition. That's what mama did. That's what I'm going to do. But when you start applying your whole spiritual life, it doesn't add up to what the scriptures say. So you say, why am I a member of the Church of Christ? Is it because I believe it? Is it because I believe it? I should believe it. Yes. Not because mama said it or mama was a member of it. I should believe it because the scripture teaches it. That's what we should believe. And I'm just saying to all of us that we should not hang our hat on nothing someone else said and put it on what the scripture has said. You hang your salvation hat on the Bible, not on some reverend, not on some father's Joe or somebody who looks pious and walks around holding, doing this kind of stuff. That's not, that don't represent holiness. No. Holiness is how quiet you walk and how soft you look and what color white you have on or not. Holiness is from the heart, that I obey from the heart the form of doctrine that will save me. That's what holiness is. Holiness and peace go together. You got to be at peace with God to remain holy with God. Let's go back to John 9. So, you know, these deformities and things and all this stuff. He said, well, it's nobody fault here. It's nobody fault here. Notice what he says.
I must work the works of him that sent me. Jesus said, now here's the deal.
I got to do what God done sent him to do. Notice what he says.
While it is day.
While day.
The night cometh when no man can work.
Day for us indicates the life of a man. Mm-hmm. Day. Night indicates the death of the man. Physically blind people are in the dark and can't see light. There's something called NLP, no light perception. When a person is totally blind, they call it NLP. They don't see black. They don't see light. They can't see light. There's no light perception. All they see is black, what I mean. Physically blind people are in the dark and they can't see light. But spiritually blind people are in the dark. And if they don't see some light before they die, darkness will be their life. Because the bottomless pit is black. It's called outer darkness. That's hell. And you know why? Hell is outer darkness and black, because there's no presence of God. Yeah. And when there's no presence of God, it's nothing but black, because God is light. And what we better get together is the fact that we better see light before we see dark. We better see day. We better do something in the day before the night come. And the night come, we're going to preach the funeral. Like I did the other day. The things should trigger our thinking, too. Like, man, how much more time do I have? At what point do we start thinking about, do I have time to really play the game anymore? Do I have time to really just come here and not get serious about my spiritual well-being? One thing I was thinking about, you know, you look at the church door swing open, or people come and go, they don't like something, they get mad at something or whatever. I thought about that. You know, people are going to be people. If a person don't like something, they're gonna make a move and do it, go somewhere until they not like that, and then they're going to do something else. But there are people, when they're not even coming to this place, they're just listening to the man. We have 900 some people on a daily basis hitting our website. I'm getting text messages. I mean, long text. I sent them Brother Stroud just sharing the power of the internet. And y'all remember Brother Cobbs, right? Brother Cobbs were a man in San Diego that listened to our sermons from here. Never knew the people at this congregation. Never was affected by any of the people's behavior. The only thing affected him was the message from Brother Brooks. I found out the year before he died that he was a super fan of mine from listening to the message. So what I'm saying is, a lot of times the people around you can impact you and influence you where you miss the message from God. Because he had no influence by the people of this congregation, no one could say he left. Or no one could say he was upset at anyone here, because all he could hear was the message. And what I'm saying, spiritual people can tune out the people who are spiritually people who can see with spiritual sight can tune out the physicals. and all they receive is the spiritual, which is going to be the message of God. You can tune out the man if you're spiritual, and you can receive the message. Now, watch this man receive the message from Jesus. Go ahead. Verse 6.
When he had thus spoken.
Now, notice this. When he had thus spoken.
He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle.
Now, we call that spit. He made clay and he spit on the ground. I visualized this when I read it. He took some spit and put it and spit on the ground. I think he must have spit a few times to make some clay. Out of clay, made spittle. He made mud out of it. Notice what he said. And he put it on the man's eye,
the blind man with the clay.
And he said,
go wash in the pool of Siloam.
Now, that's the command.
Which is interpretation sent.
He went his way,
therefore, washed, and came seeing.
Now, notice, Jesus' spit has some healing power, didn't it? Now, Jesus' spit got some healing power back then, but his blood got some power today. It's his blood. The power was in the blood today. In Mark chapter 7, go over there, Mark chapter 7, verse 31. Jesus used spit in three different cases. I learned this today. Now, as I studied this, you know, it was three different cases where he used spit. It was a powerful spit the Lord had. Look at Mark 7, 31 through 33.
And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the coast of Galilee through the midst of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf.
Now, this man can't hear.
And had an impediment.
Plus, he can't
speak.
Very good.
Yeah, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him.
They say, can you help this man? They beg Jesus, beseech me, beg. And he took him aside.
He took him aside from the multitude.
So Jesus didn't want to do his thing in front of all of them. But notice what he does. He takes his finger
into his ear.
Put his in his ears, both of them.
And he spit.
Now visualize what he's saying he did. He put his fingers in his ears, took this man, put his fingers in his ears. Then
he
what?
Spit and touched his tongue.
Now, in some versions say spit on his finger. So he spit and then touched the tongue with the spit. That's what it looked like. And
looking up to heaven, he said.
Then Jesus got his hands in his man's ear to touch the tongue, and he looks up to heaven where God is at. It's like he saw a condition in this man, and the Bible says he sighed or
and
groaned.
And said unto him, Ephatha.
He said, Ephatha.
That is. Be open.
Loosen. Be open.
And straightway his ears were open.
And his ears opened up.
And the string of his tongue was loose.
Now, what's the string of his tongue? That's that thing at the bottom of it, isn't it? It loosed his tongue. And the Bible says he spoke what?
Plain.
Plain. That's a powerful spirit. It loosed the tongue. Isn't that good? I'm just showing you. Mark 8. Go to Mark 8 now, 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida. And they bring a blind man, this time another blind man,
unto him, and besought him to touch him.
See, they knew the power was in Jesus. Like, you ought to be bringing people to hear the gospel. If the gospel impacted you, you ought to be bringing people here to hear it.
That's a good point.
And he said what?
He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes.
Now, this time, you know, I wouldn't let it's a disgrace to spit on folk today, isn't it? You know, that's disgusting. But Jesus' spit was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That man, he didn't have too much pride. He was blind. He needed help. Amen. And Jesus spit on his eye, and he didn't complain at all. And he put his hands
upon
him.
And he asked him if he saw aught.
He said, now, can you see?
And he looked up and said,
I see men. Look like trees.
Walking.
I want to know if he must have not been blind from his birth because he knew what a tree looked like. But he said, I see men, but they look like trees walking. So, you know, Jesus first touched and totally healed him. Just like some of us, the first touch, first time we heard Jesus, he didn't do nothing for us. It's saying, but look at the second touch.
After that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look
again,
up.
Again, second time, and made him look up. Now look up. He made him look up. Now, what he said?
And he was restored.
And he was restored.
And saw every man clearly.
I bet he wanted to sing the song, "I Can See Clearly Now." The trees are gone. I bet that man said, "I can see now." Boy. You know, that's a wonderful, that's a great day in this man's life, all because of the power of the Spirit. Amen. It's the power of the Spirit. And I know there's power in the Jesus' blood today as we preach it. The power's in the blood. Power, power, wonders working power in the blood of the Lamb. Peace comes through that blood. Forgiveness comes through that blood. Life changes come through that blood. In Revelation chapter 7, there were the people asked the elders, John, the elders asked John for the people who was in heaven, and they asked him in Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. Let's get that and read it. Mm-hmm. One of the elders answered, saying unto me,
saying unto him, What are these which are arrayed in white robes?
He said, who are these that are arrayed in what?
White robes.
White robes. Who are these folk in the white robes up here? Notice what he said.
And whence come they?
Where did they come from?
Then he said, I said unto him.
Then he said unto them,
sir, thou knowest.
John said, you know. And then he said what?
And he said to me.
He said unto me.
These are they which came out of great tribulation. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
The blood has power to wash our robes white. But if you haven't obeyed Jesus, your robe is not white. Heaven will not be your home. There's power in the blood. But you have to obey the command. This Jesus' spit didn't fix these men alone. What Jesus' spit was the information, or the, just like the word of God is for us, and then we must do what he commanded. Notice, this man, go back to verse 6. This man, when Jesus has spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of spittle, anointed the eyes of the blind man
with the clay.
And then he gave him a command. He said, now go wash in the pool. He's not healed because he spit on him. He's healed when he go and do what the Lord told him to do.
Amen.
Go wash in the pool of Siloam. The blood is here. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The Revelation 1:5 tells us the blood will wash away our sins. Acts 22:16 tells us we have to be washed. We got to be washed. And when you're washed, this is the pool of Siloam. The power is in the keeping the command of the master. If that man had not went to the pool of Siloam that day, he'd still be blind. The Bible says he went
his way, therefore, and washed.
Now, what did he do? Washed
that his way,
and he
and
came,
washed and came seeing.
So he didn't see until he did what Jesus said do. And there are people today who will never be saved because they're not going to do what Jesus said do. They're going to do whatever their hard head say they're going to do. And that's exactly what they are. They're spiritually blinded and hard-headed. Now, some folk are not going to ever obey God. They're not going to do it because they don't care what he said. They're going to do what they want to do, and you can't tell them what to do. Spiritually blinded. That's what they are. This man was physically blind, but he could not see until he did what the Lord told him to do. The spiritually blinded people will not be spiritual until they do what the Lord tells them to do. And there are some spiritually blind preachers, spiritually blind leaders. And the Bible says, if the blind lead the blind, the preacher and the people listening to him will go down in the ditch. And there are thousands and thousands of folks in churches today that are preaching messages that are not from God's word. There's one man I seen on the internet, I think JGJ showed it to me, sent it to me. He's selling his picture in heaven, and people buying it. Is that what he was doing, DJ? And he told him, here's a picture of him in heaven, how he in heaven down here at the same time. And you know, people are buying that. Man, you can sell anything if you attach Jesus to it. He's a commodity that folk are making billions on. Why you think Joel Osteen them filling up them buildings? T.D. Jakes done ranking in them big old boxes of money coming in with it. You can put Jesus on a sign and make some money off of him. I guarantee you that. Because folk who are spiritually blind have no, they do not read the scripture. They're not going to obey the scripture because they don't read the scripture. And if a man can just tell them whatever he want to tell them, bamboozle them, and they'll take their money and put it into play because they're trying to buy their way to heaven. They want to hear what's they want to hear the smooth stuff. Like all you got to do is accept Jesus in your heart, as long as you good. And you just do good. Sow a seed. The plate come around today, sow Brother Brooks a seed. I pray for you. God going to bless you in a tremendous way. That's a seed. That's a lie. That's the blind leading the blind. I would just appeal to this church. You don't never follow me if I leave the scripture. You never do that. And then you don't let me get away preaching something that ain't in the scripture. The best thing you do, if you see me say something wrong not according to scripture, is to come to me because my soul is now at stake. Just like I'm a blind leader. You think the blind leader going to get away? No. What verse am I on?
We're starting verse 8.
Go to verse 8.
The neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him that was blind said, is not this he that said and begged?
Now here's the thing. When you obey God and you see a difference, in the man, when a person do what Jesus said, the people around you ought to see a change. See, his neighbors, the people who knew this man, not only was he blind, but he was a beggar. He's a blind man begging for help. Is that right?
Right.
Now we know he was a beggar. He was a blind beggar. That's what he was. He wasn't just blind, but he didn't have much. Notice what happens.
Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said,
some of them that look like him. I don't know. You know, it's hard to believe he can see all of a sudden, you know, because they say, man, it might not be him, but he sure look like a lot like him. Someone said, I think that's him, man. That's got to be that cat. You know, that's the same one up there begging. And he finna clarify this thing. Know what he said?
And he said, I am he.
That's me. Now, when I obeyed the gospel when I was a young boy, about 25 years old, and go back to Hempfield, Texas, where I grew up at, folk knew my life before I got baptized. They said, that Tom? It looked like him. He ain't got no beer in his hand, though. Now, y'all looking at me like y'all ain't. Some of y'all still busting them caps, ain't you? And look at some of them talking about, yeah, a little bit. Every once in a while, I pop one. Now, they go to the club. Tommy ain't there. But that looked like the same Tommy used to go to the clubs. Looked like the same one. But here's what I'm saying. That's not me. See, I have to be the one to say, I'm the new man. I'm the new man. I'm not doing that no more. See, if you're going to go drink with them and party with them, you just like that. They look just like the old man. If you're doing all those things, drinking and partying and still smoking, what they call that stuff? What they call it? No, I'm talking about something. They roll it up. What'd you call it? Huh? You ain't going to help me? Okay. Mike, you know what it is? Y'all don't roll none up in pharmacy, do you? What they call it, Mike? How you know, bro? He tell me, I don't know nobody know tumbleweed. They didn't call it tumbleweed when I was growing up. They call it dope. He rolling some dope up. Yeah, they got that stuff called Kush now, man. That's some Kush. How many of y'all smoke some of that Kush? No, that Kush, man. They said, that's some good stuff. Kush. Brother Walker ain't here. When Brother Walker took me, he was an HPD officer. He took me downtown. And some of y'all know about this. Y'all done tried it. That Kush, it's a synthetic marijuana. Yeah. And it come, you can sell it. You can buy it in a convenience store. Just come in little packs. Yeah, little packs. It's called synthetic. It's supposed to be like, what they call it, potpourri. What that stuff called, Tim? Potpourri. Tim, I'm trying to say, I don't know. Tim, tell me don't come this way from me. I don't know nothing about no sin. Man, I ain't trying to bust you on everything. I'm just trying to see if you knew. They call it synthetic. It's little packs. And so you take that stuff. But anyway, it's chemicals. But, man, you could see some of these people on this Kush. How that stuff make them act. Like they in some zombie land. Like, I said, man, I said, Walker, what's wrong? He said, that's that cush, man. That cush do that. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? I'm saying, you know what? Cush smokers can change. Dope smokers can change. Adulterers can change. Fornicators can change. Liars can change. But you can't be blind all your life and make change. You got to make change because you care about your soul. Let me tell y'all something. There's one thing we all got that we have full control of, and that is the saving of our soul. It's up to us to save our soul. And one thing I know about myself, I ain't all that in a bag of chips, and I can't do it without the blood of Jesus. There's no way possible. I see myself as a wretched man that without the blood, there is no hope for none of us. And I'm going to tell you something in all honesty. It's going to be few people saved because they don't see themselves in that dire need of being saved. When you know who you are and you admit what kind of person you truly are within you, I ain't looking at the real you. The real you is the man inside or you or the woman thinking about what I'm saying. That's the person that's going to get judged. That's the person that either going to accept God or going to reject him in their mind. They can say, well, I don't care what he say. I ain't doing. You ain't got to be no member of no Church of Christ to be saying, I don't care what he say. You ain't got to be baptized. I just don't believe it. Well, that's you. That's the person talking to God. You're not talking to me no more. Your thinking is telling God how I care not about what the scriptures say. What I care about is what I think and feel. That's the real you. That's the person going to be judged. What I'm saying this morning, don't be spiritually blind. That's the message today, is that all of us can be caught up in spiritual blindness unless the light of the gospel shines unto us. And the gospel message is nothing but light for blind people. What verse are you on? I think I'm going to stop in verse 12 somewhere. What did it say?
Verse 10.
Yeah, keep reading.
Therefore said he unto him,
yeah,
how were thine eyes open?
Yeah.
And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay.
Now, when your life changed, you ought to give credit to who?
Jesus.
Well, that preacher, Brother Brooks, did. No, don't give Brother Brooks the credit. You give the credit to the one who gave his life for you. That's what you do. He said there was a man
called Jesus. Made clay.
He made clay. He told him, here's what the man did. He put some clay and put it on my eye. Now, he obviously didn't see him spit because he didn't say spit. See, you ain't got to see Jesus on the cross with your physical eyes, but you got to see him with your physical mind, with your spiritual mind. Gospel, faith is coming by hearing by the word of God. We see Jesus on the cross with a spiritual mind, not with a physical eye. Notice what he says.
Go to the pool of Siloam.
He told him to go to the pool of Siloam. Know what the man said.
And wash.
Yeah.
And I went and washed.
I did what the man Jesus told me to do. And the Bible says, he says what?
And I received sight.
And that's how I can see today. He said, man, how did that happen? He said, well, the man named Jesus, he put some mud on my eyes, and he told me to go to the pool. So he heard from Jesus. He believed Jesus. He decided to go, made a decision to go. And he went and did what Jesus said. He confessed who he was. He said there was a man named Jesus. And then he went and got washed. And then you want to be saved today. You got to hear how that same Jesus hung on the cross and shed his blood for you. You got to hear it with your ears, your mind's eye. Got to hear how Jesus suffered, bled, and died for you and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. You got to believe it was Jesus number two, like this man did. And then you got to repent of your sin. You got to make a decision that I'm no longer going to live in spiritual blindness. I will obey God before my nighttime comes, because you in your daytime now, but night's coming. Night's coming. And you need to see the light. The light is the light of the gospel. If a man will confess before men that he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's following the commands, Matthew 10:32. And then you must be washed, Acts 22:16. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. Do what Jesus told you to do. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You best, I best, believe and be baptized. If you didn't believe it, then baptism didn't do you no good. There's some people who didn't believe it, but they got baptized. You better believe it. And you believe all of it. Right down to his church, where he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He said that. The Romans 16:16 record that the church recorded as the church of Christ. Paul said it was only one in Ephesians chapter 4. And the Jesus said he died for his church. And the Bible says his church was his wife. And as the husband loved the wife, so Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He died for his bride and he used the blood. There's power in his blood. The blood of Jesus has power to wash away every sin we ever committed. Man, I did the best day of my life. And when I went down in that water, March 31st, 1985, came up a born again, a regenerator, a brand new child. Amen. I'm so thankful that I went down in the water. How many of y'all are thankful you went to the water? I'm so glad I went to the water because I know it was the blood. There was power, power, wonders working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Now what should affect us, Brother Brooks, when I'm in darkness? The light on the cross. That's what should affect us. When it was 12 o'clock, the light shined. That was Jesus. And unless you see the light on the cross as your salvation, you're going to never be saved. You got to do it. You got to believe it. You got to believe he hung, bled, and died for you. And you got to respond. You got to respond to the truth. Amen? This man was blind from his birth. And there are people living today, 70, 80 years old, still spiritually blind. And they've been just like they was when they was a baby. Because they never grew up to know, I got to go wash in the pool of Siloam and keep the commands of Jesus. Isn't that good? Amen. I slowed it down a little bit this morning for y'all. See how y'all like that style. Y'all like that style? All right. I'm listening. So here's what I want you to do. If you're here today and you want prayer, we want you to come to the front. You know, people are going through a whole lot of stuff these days, y'all. But one thing I do believe in is prayer. How many of y'all believe in prayer? If you're a member of this church and you're going through some rough times, don't be so ashamed to come down or write it on the card and say somebody pray for you. You need prayer. And maybe you're living in sin and you know right now you don't need your nighttime, don't need to come because you don't want to die just like you are. You need prayer. You say, well, Brother Brooks, you need prayer. Because until you stop doing it, you haven't repented. So no sense in coming down here to my brothers, I've seen, I repent, and go right back and sleep with the girl again. Something like that. There's no sense in saying you stopped when you know you didn't. Amen. What you need is some grace and some mercy. Yeah. Some time. Amen, right? How many of y'all need some time? Yeah. You need time because you can't even be honest. You need time? Yeah. We need time. That's what I'm saying. So if you're going through some trials, come all over, prayers, we will pray for you. If you want to make a confession and you truly have repented, then do that. If you want to get baptized and you want to get washed today, you can do that. The water's ready. Clothes are ready. We got everything you need, something for your head, everything, hair and all. It's just good. All you got to do is go down in the water. And when you go down in the water, there's some blood in there. Ain't that good? That good? Some blood in there. Come on and sing the song. Y'all come as together. We